More and more, badass women are joining the ranks as highly skilled construction professionals. Construction and renovation projects wouldn't happen without the skills of the various crews involved. As we all know, the skilled trades have been male-dominated for like forever. In this season, I'm highlighting the amazing women doing their thing in the construction sector. Every journey and every story is different, but they are all inspiring. Have a listen as I learn about their stories.
Hello, all you amazing humans. Today I have Kavitha on the show. She was born and raised in India and came to Vancouver in 2000 to get married and had two beautiful children and was a stay-at-home mom until 2008. After she separated in 2008, she went back to the workforce in retail customer service where she just wasn't happy. And in 2013, she was introduced to an all-women's trade workshop. And after finishing 4 months of introduction to the trades and wood finishing, she wanted to pursue it. She had brief knowledge about what it was about, and somewhere in her heart, she really wanted to know more. So through the workshop, she was then referred to a small shutter shop where she started the journey. Everything she learned about wood finishing was hands-on, it was on the job, and there is no official trade school or a field of study for this work. So she had to do everything on the job. Each shop and company has its own requirements and standards. So she worked full-time as a finisher for 7 years all around the Lower Mainland. In 2019, after kind of being knocked down as a tradeswoman in the field, she decided to go back to being a flight attendant. So since then, she's been able to work both sides of the job, so flight attendant and wood finishing. And her first shop or boss has supported her in keeping her hands on the tools as well as flying. Somewhere in 2021, she was introduced to BCC WIT, and she did the cohort that was in the fall of 2021. So Kavitha, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I'm really excited to learn more about what your story is. So let's just jump in. Let's start with, your choice to come to Canada and get married. Tell me a little bit more about that with whatever around that you're comfortable to share with me and whoever happens to be listening to the show.
Thank you, Brandy, to have me on the show. Yes, I'm pretty excited about this. When I first read the article about what you do, and I know there's a few other BCC WIT women have already been on these shows who I admire and respect. But yes, thank you for having me on the show. And I think I'm ready to share my story. Like I said, I came into Canada in 2000. I was actually a flight attendant in India for about 4 years before I got married and came up here. Didn't think that I needed to work. I was a stay-at-home mom and I didn't have to work at that point of time. The family I was married into actually is the reason where I am today in the journey of wood finishing. They have a business in the Lower Mainland that supplies the products. I wanted to learn more. My ex-husband was very encouraging about that, but unfortunately, due to being the culture and the traditions, because of my ethnicity, it held me back into learning more into the business. I was told to be a mom first, to be a woman, stay at home, have kids, be around the kitchen, the kids need you, and never found the opportunity and support to explore the world that I wanted to do. I've often struggled with education. Partly over the years, I realized that I am dyslexic. And this was when I went back into school in 2013, one of my teachers upgrading my skills recognized it. That changed everything for me in 2008 when I first moved out. I went into retail for 4 years because I had to support myself, come back into the workforce, being a single parent. I have a son and a daughter. They were pretty little when I first moved out. And then I was just, retail just took so much of my life out and very little pay. And I always struggled on a desk job. And I wondered why. First, I would pay attention to the little details and it would drive me crazy. And my dyslexia would kick in. So a desk job was not the best thing for me. Yeah. That's when in 2013, I was introduced to an all-women's trade program through the YWCA, which I was actually part of when I first moved out, because they are the ones, they helped me start a life again. When I moved, had no place to stay. They took me in. There's a lot of support programs at the YWCA. And they're the ones, one of my support workers introduced me to the Women in Trades program. Now it's called, I think it's a different name, but that's what it was called in Women in Trades in 2013. I was introduced to all the trades, but somewhere in my heart, I kept telling the instructor that I want to pursue finishing. That's what I wanted to do. So she knew what I was looking for, and she referred me to the original Shutter Shop, which is on Kent in Marine Drive. A very small shop, for 3 or 4 people, but run by a woman, actually. And
Hey, I'm going to have to talk to her.
Yep, I'm not sure if she's ready yet. She's been in the industry for 30 years, but she's a very quiet and a very shy boss who's always like, no, no, no. And I'm like, you have to say something.
For sure. Anyway, well, that's a whole other thing. I can charm her, I'm sure. I'll get her on the show. Anyway, go on.
I would love to have her on the show. And she has been my mentor. She has been my guide. She meant the world to me now today. So I started off with her. I am letting her know that a little bit of my family background, because she happened to be right opposite where my ex-family have the business. That's how I realized destiny's saying, hey, you got to follow this path. Before even stepping into an interview, I called her and I told her what my background and history was. And then she's like, can you work? Do you have work shoes? I was like, yep, I can work. And she didn't judge me by anything else other than my work. She taught me the basics of wood finishing, just the simple sanding. Yes, in the beginning, I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? And it was like, what am I doing? I have no idea what am I stepping into this world. I had no idea what a lacquer was, what a stain was, what anything to do with finishing. I learned the basic stuff with her. I was with her for about a year, and then my mind was like, I want to know more. She does just shutters, window shutters, and it's between paints and stains, mostly paints. Mm-hmm. So I would only prep, and I'd started off just by spraying primers on most of the products, and then she would do the final top coat, which she still does. And then in a year's time, I wanted to move, and I said, I want to learn more. She's like, go. She's like, find something that you love and go. And I found another shop, which is not far away. Now, this was a bigger team, a bigger company, which had was more commercial. And I was the second, I think I was an assistant finisher, along with I might be the second or third girl in the shop. Not many of us, but we were a handful. But in the booth, I was the assistant, and I was the only girl as a finisher. Had a very amazing team and an extremely supportive boss, who till today means the world to me. He just hired me on after interviewing me. He said the words he said to me, he says, I have a good feeling about you. And that was the stepping stone. And yes, I've learned so much from that team. After being in my second year, he had planned to retire. So he sold the business over to another company. So from an average of 30 crew team, we became to be an 80 crew team, because the new company was way bigger, way more people. In January of 2018, we merged into the new company shop, which is in Burnaby. And then over time, I realized there was a lot of issues going on in the paint booth, and there's just communication issues, or there was politics and like kind of being, oh, you're young, you're a woman, you come in and I was learning fast. I wanted to learn more, and I was curious about things, and I was told, why are you asking so many questions? Just do what you need to be, what you're told to do. For me, it's unless I don't understand something, I can't work. I guess it's part of my dyslexia. I had to understand things for me to be able to do the things. And in finishing, it's the small details. That's where my OCD of paying attention to the smallest little things kicked in. And I realized, I'm glad I have that today. Because if you don't notice what the wood's telling you, you're going to be in trouble at the end of it's paying attention.
But here's the thing, I don't think that it's a dyslexia thing. wanting to know more. Like, I'm a seeker and I get that. Like, I want, when I'm insanely curious about something, I like dive in and it's super intense and whatever. And then I get filled up to the point where I'm complete with whatever that is. And sometimes like I'm still ongoing with many things.
I think it's the difference is that I've never stopped learning. And so, you often
maybe.
Yeah, and then in trades, I understand that you often come to people, you get a start. It's like a full stop with some people, like, okay, we've reached at this point, we're at this age, we don't want to do more. We're comfortable. I understand that. And some people, most of the people get into a very comfort zone. But for me, it was like, I'm still exploring, I'm still learning. I came into this trade very late. First thing, as a South Asian woman, as a girl in India who had no choices and options, was only told, oh, all you could do is accounting, doctors, lawyers, all of this information. Two is my parents didn't even think of testing me for dyslexia because disabilities in India is not even recognized still today. I know people in back in India who have children who are special needs and have trouble trying to find the right way of bringing their children up there. And they're like, what do you do? I'm like, send them up here, or there's better facilities up in Canada to do that. But there is nothing called a trade school in India. Any association with a plumber, electrician, carpenter, which would mean furniture cabinet maker or like a carpenter or construction, there is no trade school. There's no guidelines. There's no, and anybody associated with that is not even like, there's class system in within the culture too. And for me to come out of all of that and to be actually doing what I do, and I said, you don't understand what it is on the other side of the world, where in Canada, and people say, like, how have you done this? How, like, everybody, when I go back, they're all like, it's always about fashion, about modeling, about all of those kind of things. A woman has to be perfect. You know, you can't be like this. You can't be like that. I'm like, now when I walk into India, I'm like, I have no makeup on my face. I'm just in sweats and t-shirt. I'm pretty fine with myself. And that's what I love. It's just, it's such a drastic change I've seen. So for me to be one of the South Asian women, so I was in that learning phase. I'm like, I want to learn. I was like a bat out of a cage. So let's say that much.
Yeah.
It's like
liberation to be able to do and be whoever you are and explore who that could potentially be when you're like limited so much. I could absolutely understand how it would be like, I'm flying now and I need to like do it all.
Well, and that's where I think it was a hard, I mean, I know you, the person, my managers couldn't understand it. And I requested the company, the new company, to come out of the paint shop to learn more. And I'm not sure what the politics was in between in the fine lines, which I had no idea. After I requested and I was ready to do my first year apprenticeship with BCIT, I got papers signed with them. A week later, I got laid off without even notice. I mean, given no reason, I was given no explanation as to why. And this was the first time it hit me. I'm like, oh my God, I was laid off on a Friday afternoon, 2:15, when we finished our shift at 3 o'clock. I was given half an hour after that. And yes, I was given the severance and all that. That's not a point of it. But I'm like, why? They're like, we don't just need, we're changing situations and operations and stuff like that. But the funniest part is I found out that I was laid off on a Friday afternoon. And then come Monday morning, they had a man replace my place. There was a guy already there. They hired somebody to replace me. I was like, and funny enough, that person actually, I have nothing against the person. I crossed paths with him when I did my first year apprenticeship in BCIT on my own during COVID. And he is supported all through the last 4 years of doing his apprenticeship and working in the paint shop. So to me, in the years I've just watched and listened and have not said anything, but I'm like, well, you know what? I pick and choose my battles, but somewhere down that was wrong.
Yeah, 100%, absolutely. That's just batshit crazy. Like,
yeah. Well, and not only, and at the same time after that too, when I talk about how I was knocked down, and that was the first knockdown, which And it was not like I couldn't find work. There's tons of work available for a finisher in the Lower Mainland, I'm sure you know. I moved.
It's really hard to find good ones too. Like in our business, like when we need things finished, we've gone through like a ton of finishers trying to find some good people.
Oh, I know. Still today, there are people and in the world, and in the last couple of years, I've networked thanks to my dad, who's always told me network, 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 network. You never know. There's the big, his part of, networking also came through because he was a hotelier in India, in Mumbai. So for 30 years, seeing him, I grew up with the hotel industries I've grown up with. And then I got introduced to the airlines. I started working there. But his whole goal was network, 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 network.
And it's not always, it's who you know. And it is. Proximity is power.
And I've had the privilege, and luckily I've been that kind of person. So I've networked around Lower Mainland, and I know I've moved around shops. There have been places where I was a lead finisher and I set up booths and stuff like that for companies and the boot painting department and everything. Only after that, after 6 months after the setup, they're like, oh, you're a mom, you can't give you full time. So we might have to hire somebody else. I'm like, yeah, you can't expect one person to run a full shop on a full $1 million project. I was expected to do everything on time. I said, what am I going to kill myself working 10, 12 hours? Because after 10 hours, you can't work. There's no way in anyone's frame of mind, your body gets tired. So I was told, oh, since you're a mom, you can't give your full time. We might have to find another finisher who's a male. You can work under him as an assistant. I said, how long do I have till you find another person to replace me? He's like, oh, we're just going through interviews. I said, okay. And I knew I had at least two weeks. I know I can give my 2 weeks notice. And when they did find the finishers, they're like, oh, when can you give him a notice? I said, well, I'm allowed to give a 2 weeks notice. So I'll give you a 2 weeks notice. And that's what I stuck by. And I was like, I'll give you my answer in a few days. And I knew I had 2 weeks and I had a vacation coming. I said, here you go. That's my 1 week and here's my notice. That's my decision. And I walked out. I've walked out at places where I've been talked down at. Like, again, coming in, setting up. I understand each shop has its requirements and standards and everything. But there are certain things that just don't go. You don't yell at a person just because of... And it's partly cultural, racial, how they deal with women and... And I've just walked out of shops and said, no, this is not what I need. This is not the place I want to be. And it was funny. And I've also been told, oh, you're doing too many things at one time. And, how many jobs do you want to do? How many things are you going to do? How many different career fields are you going to work? And I'm like, why is there a limitation for me to learn? If I want to learn how something new, why can't it? Doesn't matter what age I am or my sex. Does it matter whether I'm a man or a woman or doesn't. So I can keep doing what I want. I mean, I've pushed through barriers. I've pushed through traditions. I've broken barriers, broken cultural traditions. I know that I have.
Super kudos to you for pushing through and continuing down that path and being strong and being able to stand up for yourself and advocate for yourself. That in and of itself is a skill that not everybody possesses. So I just have to give you full props for all of that.
Thank you.
For real, like I had a few things that occurred in my trade life as well. And, I had to be strong and, not put up with the amount of bullshit and whatever. And I had to leave a couple places and all that kind of thing. But there is a certain amount of moxie that one needs to be able to like walk in the trade world. And just hearing about some of the things that you've been talking about, it's just, it doesn't surprise me. And then of course you've got the cultural thing on top of that. And
also children also, because they kept going in and out of the same house and people talk, right? In the world of trades, it's very
no matter what sector you're in, the world is so small. I was at a networking event on Wednesday, a regular thing. And I'm sitting at this table with a few of our regular members and there's somebody that was invited and that person is the neighbor of a friend of somebody. And that neighbor friend's wife is the cousin of this person over here. And it just is like, oh my goodness. Like it just,
if you're talking about
small world,
Talking about the world being small and different traits, whatever field you are, I've just bumped into a person recently in the world of airlines who used to fly for the same company as I did. And over the last couple of weeks, talking to the same person now, we find out that we actually grew up in the same neighborhood in Mumbai. So that's how we went out in different directions. And like, we both are like, what on earth is this? And literally until yesterday too, we were both flying back. We're both different companies, but both flying back into Vancouver at the same time. We're both flying to destinations. And I'm like, okay, this is really like, I need to move back. But I've realized that I think at some point in the wood finishing world, so everywhere I went, I knew people would know my history. And if I tell them the story of how I'm connected to it. And there was a certain amount of respect and there was a certain amount of expectations to uphold still, even though I'm not part of the family. You still have to be civil in that world. Oh, because people talk and I don't. And I've heard people say, oh, you're so-and-so's daughter-in-law, ex-daughter-in-law. I'm like, whatever you heard. Then I had to say to myself, can you please judge me on my work, not on the history of what you've heard? That's all I say. And that's all I kept telling myself, judge me on my worth and not my, what you heard. And mentally too, when I'm working, it's especially when you're working in a field like that and where, you know, everybody knows the family and everybody knows the ties and I'm always worried. Like I used to be worried thinking, what would people think? Or what would people go back and say? Because it's very easy for things to go back to the house. And my two children are there. It was them. It was for them that I'd always worry about, like, what are they going to hear about me? I don't want them hearing things that are missaid. And they were young.
Twisted into something that it's not accurate and all of that.
They were young and they were, it's hard for them because they're pretty, they're vulnerable. They're impressionable at that age. It took me a very, very long time to be where I am right now. And that's why I say my kids now are not that impressionable. They're old enough. My oldest now is 20 and my youngest is 16. Mm-hmm. So they have their own identity. And over the years, they have seen how much I've worked, I've struggled. They're my best friends. I could say that much today. Oh, yes.
What an amazing example of a human that you are for them. Like barring, you know, being a woman, being like, none of that really it matters, but it doesn't really matter. Like we're as parents, because I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old, so very, very similar in age to yours. And really we're setting the example of conduct and how we deal with controversy and conflict and love and all of the things that make us human. And how are we navigating that? And I think being able to put a really clean and clear path and sharing our struggle and showing sort of what I think and I'm getting from you is kind of like taking the high road and like all of those sorts of lessons that we're teaching our kids and showing them, you know, even if we're in a non-traditional sector of work, we can all do what we're going to do in whatever way we want to do it. And I think that's a really powerful example to give our kids.
You said the right word, taking the high road. It is the hardest thing to do. Always done that, whether being in the trades or in my personal life. And it's the main thing. And it's funny when people used to tell me, going back again in COVID, during COVID, actually, I just joined, going back to flying. I actually would train during COVID for flying. And I was also the first person to be laid off because the junior most. But what kicked in was my days of finishing, my experience of finishing. And there was so much work available that I actually I was not even laid off during COVID. It was only through the shutdown. But after that, there was like, people were just calling me, are you available to work? And I was not happy at other places. And that's how I came back to the original Shutter Shop, my boss right now, who supports me. And she knew, she's like, you know what? She was one of my biggest supporters, to said, go to fly. She said, fly. I will support you when you're not work, when you're not flying. I will give you work. You will work your schedule, because she's been in the trades for 30 years as a woman herself. And she said to me, she's like, I don't want to see you being where I am. no pension, no benefit. I am a single parent. She knows. She's like, you are a single parent. Someday you're going to be tired. You're going to be exhausted. You have to take your hands off the tool. She made me realize that you're not going to be able to do this forever. And she's like, you will be happy. Yes, you have to struggle right now, but eventually when you get to my age, when she said 60 or 70, you're going to be thankful that you fly and you do this. And
you know, it's just so amazing to have advocates and support. Yeah. And they're so few and far between, but when you have even one, what a difference it makes. It only takes one.
Yes. Yes. Like, only takes one. And I think that one person is what I've always needed. Just one. It's just that one support in the trades that, and I know I have a lot now with, and before and during COVID, actually, that's when BCC WIT came into my perspective. And I've always been part, I'd actually got introduced it through the Facebook of BC Women in Trades. And then from there, I saw BCC WIT. I was kind of curious, what's this about? I started seeing, I was part of BC Women in Trades for a while. I've always been been part of social media. And then I saw BCC WIT. I wanted to know what it was about, and did the COHO, and that changed my world.
So tell me more about that, because I had signed on twice, and for different life reasons, I had to defer until another time period. And I'm actually going to be doing it this coming November, I think. Finally, I'm so excited. So tell me a little bit more about really personally what you got out of it. I mean, I know kind of what the structure is, and I know Lindsay Cairns and all of that. So just
Lindsay, changed
a little bit about what you took out of it and what was so powerful for you.
Lindsay changed my world, I think. BCC would change my world. When I registered in that program, I was laid off from flying because of COVID. The airline industry had shut down, and I was thinking to myself, what am I doing? Like, why am I going into this? I'm like, I'm a finisher, yes, but what am I going to do with this? I had no idea what I was getting into, or just know, where am I going to go from here with this? Whatever. I said, let's just go with the flow and see what it's all about. And so we did a one-week program. I was in Victoria with the November COHO of 2021. Sitting down in that room for 1 week, I mean, in the room or being amongst the women that I met, we all cried at the end of it. That's all I can tell you. It changed our world. We were women from every different fields of trade. We were women, we were sharing our experiences. We were sharing experiences. We were sharing our field of work, personal, like both work and personal. And it brought us together and made us realize that we were just not alone. We were just not, whether being in any trade of any field of trades, we were not alone, that we were not going through what we were going through on our own. That being said, even as a woman or a man, and now BCC WIT also does not just another bystander, the other program that they run. Sorry.
Don't be a bystander. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also for being bullied in the trades, in the men's. I mean, Lindsay showed us the difference, or Lindsay introduced us to the difference about it. And we learned almost everything, OHS, all the rules. We shared labor laws, and, you know, and that's when I realized, I'm like, my God, I wish I knew my rights and in the field of trades. I realized the experience of being fired and how I was fired and how I had rights at that point of time. You know, I could have challenged it all, like the information by laws, like little, whether it being a little things that triggered off questions, and that made me want to know more. I was like, wow, I was just so naive. I just didn't know my rights. I didn't know what it meant to be to safe work, or what was being bullied in the trades, or being like how you go through all of that. So it changed my world. It changed, made me feel like I was not alone anymore. I was free to ask questions in BCC WIT. I was free to share my experiences. I was not thinking of just holding back and thinking, am I crazy or am I insane of thinking like this was not right? oh, this was not like, you know, it's, so yeah, BCC would change my world. And from there, being a regional rep, being able to go out in the high schools, and the trades world is so supportive of women and girls going into the trades. Just looking at girls recently, I think the last one I did was last year when I went into the Maple Ridge School District, and it was a good turnout for a lot of us. We were asked to be in a room full of women in trades, and the girls, the questions that these teenagers were asking just empowered me. I'm like, oh my God, I wish I had this.
Yeah. I'm curious, what kind of questions were they asking?
They were asking about which trade to go into, what was the benefits, what are the downfalls. And then I met one of the parents, and I said to them, and there's one point I pulled up about partly being dyslexic and how the disabilities, we have learning disabilities. And I said, don't let that hold you back. Doesn't matter what trade you go into. And if you have learning disabilities, learn to recognize it and still keep moving. And one of the moms came up to me later on and said, oh my God, I'm so glad you brought up that topic, because my daughter's dyslexic and she's scared. It holds her back into going and wanting to do a trade. She thinks that it's challenging. I said, there's help, the support. There's school, I mean, BCIT, you have to be diagnosed for BCIT to recognize you need that certification or whatever paperwork, but there's help. If you do reach out and talk to people and tell them you've got this issue, there's help. And it's seeing her smile and the little kid just you're like, oh my God, I'm glad you said that. I said, I'm not diagnosed officially, but yes, I have, my brain runs faster than my fingers can. And spellings is one of the worst things. The world has laughed at me on it. Trust me. And I used to feel so, I still struggle. I still struggle in texting something. I'm like, no, I'm scared. There's that fear, but it's part of not that I can't speak or I can't read or I can't write. It's just, there's something that just doesn't, my motor functions are different from everyone else. So that's how simple it was. But those are the things that I think BCC WIT actually help me understand, help me acknowledge about my downfalls and how it can also be my strength. So.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. So we've hit all the sort of the prep questions I've given you just by organic conversation. I think that this has been fantastic. I'm curious to know, do you have anything else that you would want to say to women or girls that are considering pursuing a career in the trades? You know, obviously there's still work to be done to create better workplace environments for women and people who identify as women or female, and you know, people of color, and like all, there's lots of work that still needs to be done. But I mean, the needle is moving very, very slowly, but it is moving. So do you have any sort of sage advice for anybody who'd be considering this?
I would just say, don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of changing shops. Don't be afraid of changing trades. Don't hold yourself back and thinking it's an endless pit of learning.
Yeah.
And, reach out and ask for help. There is help, there's support. Just move through the life of what you want to do. Work from your heart. I could say that's all I can say. Listen to the heart, work from your heart. And yeah, move through trades. We're all intermingled. That's all I could say. It's just, I started off as a finisher. I could actually go into automotive painting. I can go into even aircraft painting. And I actually recently found a program. I'm being certified by UBC actually as an industrial trade finisher. BCC WIT, yes. BCC WIT supported me to go through the program. And yeah, as of April, I actually lost my dad in April, just as I finished the program. And it's been a challenge. I'm sorry, it's going to be a little emotional, but it's been a challenge to come back into it, because I actually helped him set up a business in India, which he converted into his own. We do flooring in India. And for many years, he kept saying, come and help me with this business here. Come and help me with it. Even though I outsource products and everything, but I couldn't leave. I had my kids here and I had a life here already, which I was so which I love. And yes, he's done amazing work for the with the business what I started, and he took on that. But now that he's passed, and my career and both my careers, he was very proud that I went back to flying too. It was what he always told me. It was you made a dream come true. That you went back, you didn't give it up, because he says you love being with people, you love being out there. He says, and that's one of the best things you've done. But he's also very proud that I told him, I'm like, Dad, I'm doing the UBC program. I'll be certified. I finished the program on a Friday in April. He passed away on Monday. Oh. So it's been coming back. I told him I want to take my hands off the tools. I want to do this. He said, then come help me with the business. Come help. But the way things do, business and India is not ready for a woman in the trades. I've seen in many, it's a battle. I don't think I'm ready to fight there. I'm not ready yet to fight. And it's a long, long, we still got so much work to do here. All I would say, don't let your culture, your traditions, your race, your ethnicity, anything hold you back as a woman to wanting to do what you want to do in trades. It's, if you make up, at least being this side in the world supports you being a woman in trades. Explore, learn, keep learning. That's all I could say.
That's a beautiful message. And I mean, Kavitha, again, thanks for joining me on the show. This, your story is really, really one of pushing through and empowerment and, you know, just rising. And I just think you're just such a beautiful soul. And I have just really enjoyed learning about your path. And I think there's so much more out there for you. I think I'm so excited to see kind of where you go and what you do. And I want to make sure we keep in contact. And
oh, yeah, I love that too. The things that you want to do, I want to be part of. I can tell you this much right now. It's like so much work to do. Like you said, there's so much to do yet.
No, and I really wish you nothing but joy and success moving forward. I had some like goosebumps on my arms as in some of the places that we were talking together. And I just really wonderful. Thank you for sharing your story with me today.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. All right. So for those who are listening, that's a wrap, and keep it real. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. So until next time, be sure to check out the other episodes in this Women in Trade series, as well as the other series that we have in the All Things Renovation world. Until next time, keeping badass in whatever trade you're in or whatever sector you're in, even as far as that goes. And check you later.
Thanks for listening. And I hope you feel as inspired as I do. If you or someone you know has interest in the trades, there are many resources, many programs and supports. There's also a ton of women's groups out there specifically for those who are in the trades. We'll list a number of them in the show notes, but be sure to reach out if you're having challenges finding some in your area. We're all in this together, after all, and we're happy to help in any way we can.